This is the first of two videos about normed vector spaces. Before you continue, you should go back and rewatch the background video number 6, which was called Vector Spaces and Norms. That video introduced the very basics about what a vector space is and what a norm is. And I will assume that you have recently watched that video, or at least went through the accompanying PDF. So here's a bunch of concepts, many of which you have seen before, all relating to general vector spaces. So V will denote a vector space here. So it's some space where you can add elements and you can multiply them by scalars. Scalars for us will be real numbers. You can also define vector spaces over complex numbers, but we'll concentrate on vector spaces over the real numbers. If you have a finite number of elements, say n elements in the vector space, then we call that set of objects linearly independent. If the only scalars, the only real numbers alpha 1 to alpha n, such that this linear combination is equal to 0, are the trivial coefficients. Alpha 1 up to alpha n are all equal to 0. If there are non-zero numbers alpha 1 up to alpha n, so that this is true, then these elements x1 up to xn are called linearly dependent. På norsk er dette linjært avhengig og linjært uavhengig. The span of a set of elements, either a finite number or an infinite number of objects, is defined as the set of all linear combinations of those objects. So if you want to define the span for an infinitely large set, then it's still all finite linear combinations where the elements lie in whatever set you have. We say that a finite set of objects is a basis for the vector space if, first of all, they are linearly independent, and moreover, if their span is equal to V. So in other words, or another way of stating that, this definition, is that for every element of V, there is one and only one way to write that element as this linear combination. And finally, we call a vector space finite dimensional if it has a finite basis. So if there are finitely many objects, x1 to xn, so that that set constitutes a basis for the set. If so, we'll write dim V for the number of elements in that basis. So in this case, dim V would be n. Just one more thing. So of course, the way it's defined, dim V, the dimension of V, looks like it depends on which basis you chose. Now there are infinitely many bases for any vector space V, but it's a fact from linear algebra that for a finite dimensional vector space, if a space is finite dimensional, then any basis contains exactly the same number. Any two bases contain exactly the same number of elements. We can apply all of our machinery, which we've developed for metric spaces, to normed vector spaces. To be more concrete, if this is a normed vector space, then that set V with D is a metric space, where D is the induced metric. That's this metric. It's a fact that this defines a metric. And if this isn't completely obvious to you, then you should stop now and prove that this function D satisfies all of the axioms of being a metric. So when you have an induced metric like this, we can very roughly say that this induced metric is homogeneous. It looks the same everywhere. So the way to make sense of that is, say you have two points x and y and the third point u in the vector space. So you can measure the distance between x and y through this induced metric. And then if you translate both objects by the same vector, so translating means adding adding some vector, so you translate them to x plus u and y plus u, then the distance will be the same. And the difference is, of course, that here you're subtracting the elements, and when you're subtracting these two, the u's cancel and you're left with d of xy. So this might give you a picture of how this induced metric and how the norm works in measuring distances. So through this induced metric, most of the statements that we've developed, with emphasis on most, are still true. So being open, we can still define what it means to be open for a subset of a norm vector space. Same with closed. We can talk about a complete norm vector space, a compact subset of a norm vector space, what it means for a function from a vector space to another being continuous, a sequence being convergent, and so on and so on. So all of these statements are still true and applicable when we apply them to this particular setting. So everywhere, when we have, for instance, a function from a norm vector space into some other space, then by continuity will mean continuity with respect to this metric. Convergence in a norm vector space means convergence with respect to this metric, and so on and so on. There is one catch to this general statement, though. And that's the following. When you have a general metric space, you can take any subset of that metric space and get a new metric space. You just concentrate on the elements of the subset. The same is not quite true for vector spaces. If you have a vector space V and some subset U, then that subset U is not necessarily a vector space itself. For instance, if U is the unit ball in the vector space, then if you multiply by an element of that set with a big enough constant, then you'll land outside of the set. And that is not allowed in a vector space. So while this any subset U gives you a metric space, it doesn't necessarily give you a vector space. So I think this is the only place where you have to be a bit careful in applying general results about metric spaces to vector spaces. So here is a proposition whose proof I'll leave as an exercise. Let's say you have some vector space V with a norm. So this is a norm vector space. And you have two sequences xn and yn in V, and you have a sequence of scalars alpha n. If the two sequences xn and yn converge, then their sum converges. If xn converges and alpha n converges to some number, then the products converge. And finally, if the sequence xn converges, then the sequence consisting of the numbers norm of xn also converges. I'll leave this as an exercise. So here, when we say converges, we mean convergence of these numbers. These are real numbers. Convergence in the usual sense of from calculus. So with respect to the canonical metric. As a corollary of this third statement, this function, the function that takes an element of V and gives you the norm of that, is continuous. To prove that, use statement 3 and the property that sequential continuity is the same as continuity. So this is a map from V with this norm to R with the canonical metric. Here's yet another definition. Very, very often when you work in mathematics, you meet complete non-vector spaces. So when we say that a non-vector space is complete, then we mean that the non-vector space viewed as a metric space with this induced metric, that metric space is complete. Such a non-vector space is called a Banach space. And Banach spaces really appear in very many different applications, and they are completely central to a large part of mathematics, in particular in general functional analysis. The fact that such a simple concept, a complete non-vector space, has its own name, that really tells us that this is an important concept. Here's an example of a Banach space, which you've seen before. If you have a sequence of real numbers, x1, x2, x3, and a positive number p, p is allowed to be infinity here. So So then we write the little lp norm of the sequence as either this sum of non-negative numbers, if p is a finite number, and the little l infinity norm is defined like this, to be the supremum of the absolute values of the elements. And we write lp, or sometimes lp of r, so this is also denoted just lp, as the set of all sequences x whose lp norm is finite. Of course, p equal to infinity. Infinity is not a number, but here we just write this symbolically. So note that in no formula here do we actually do arithmetics with infinity. So you always have to be careful when you set something equal to infinity. So this is a Banach space. I think we've gone through the proof before. If not, if you haven't seen it before, then you can look it up in the notes on LP spaces. So we proved there that LP is a vector space, it's a symmetric space. This is a metric and a norm, and it's complete. It is a Banach space for any P between 1 and infinity, 1 and infinity inclusive, but not for P strictly less than 1, so between 0 and 1. In fact, if P is less than 1, then this does not define a norm or a metric. In particular, the triangle inequality is not satisfied when P is strictly less than 1. You can still define it though, but you will not get a norm out of this. Finally, let's introduce the Cartesian product of a finite number of norm vector spaces. So if you have several norm vector spaces, V1, V2, and so on up to Vn, then it's a fact that V is a norm vector space where V is defined like this. It's the set of all n tuples of elements xi living in Vi. And the norm is just the sum of the norms of the components. This is called the Cartesian product of these non-vector spaces. In the next video, we'll look at the relation between two different norms on the same vector space and try to find out when convergence, for instance, in one norm implies or is equivalent to convergence in the other norm.